Lord's house. Amen. I appreciate the goodness of the Lord. This message is laid very heavy on my heart. It's cost me sleep. Every preacher understands some hits harder than others. I mean, it's all the Word of God, but there's some that the Lord gives you, lays on your heart, and it just it's like a heavy burden. And so you're here tonight, not by accident. You're here through the providential will of God. And there's no doubt in my mind that someone needs to hear what the Lord has to say to your heart tonight. One verse of Scripture, open your Bible to Proverbs chapter number 18. Proverbs chapter number 18. And we'll just read one verse tonight. I've read this I don't know how many times down through the years. I even have it marked in my Bible. But this past week I came across this and the Lord said, stop right there. Chapter 18, verse number 14. The spirit of a man will sustain his infirmity. Semicolon. Getting ready to change. But a wounded spirit who can bear? My Father, thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to be able to stand, proclaim your precious word. Lord, I've never learned how to preach, and I'm too old to try tonight. Unless you anoint me, unless you touch me, unless you hide me behind the cross, there'll be no preaching done. You've burdened my heart with this, and I pray, Lord, that you would hold back the force of hell tonight and afford me the liberty to deliver my soul, and I'll give you the praise for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you. You can be seated. If you read through the Proverbs, of course, the Proverbs was written by Solomon. You'll find that in chapter 25, verse number 1. Around 1000 B.C., along with Job and Ecclesiastes, Proverbs is considered to be one of the three wisdom books of the Old Testament. Now, the word Proverbs itself, now make a mental note of this. This is what the word itself means. It means to make something like something, to make a similitude, a comparison, to set two things in place side by side. And if you read through Proverbs, you're gonna find two little English words will open up more scripture for you than any commentary you'll ever read. And it's those two little words, as and like. If you get that nailed down, and understand that, that'll open up the scriptures for you by comparing scripture with scripture. Proverbs is designed to impart wisdom by comparing spiritual things with spiritual things. 1 Corinthians 2:13. Proverbs chapter number 8 tells you where to go to for wisdom. Anybody know where that would be? Don't want to make you mad, but it's not the University of Tennessee. It tells you where to go to for wisdom. Proverbs chapter 1 tells you what will happen if you get your wisdom from another place. Proverbs, the first part of verse 14, it compares or it sets side by side physical suffering and emotional suffering. It differentiates. Now, understand this. I'm not getting a real theological tonight. I'm going to get down to where we live, where every one of us lives every single day. When you're studying the Bible, you start to understand that heart and spirit are many times used in parallel. Now, I'm not talking about that muscle that pumps blood through your body. That's not what I'm talking about at all. I'm hoping by the time I get to the beginning of the message, you understand that what Proverbs is talking about, it's not a fleshly heart. It's not something that pumps blood. It's your innermost core of your being. Your very heart and your very spirit. It's what you are. It's what's deep inside you. That's what he's talking about. Listen to what David said. David talked much in the Psalms about the heart. And look how David makes a parallel between heart and spirit. Psalms 34:18. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. See the parallel that David uses in the Psalms? Psalms 51:10, David said, create in me a clean heart. He's not talking about a muscle. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Now, David prays a prayer in Psalms 51, talking about his sin. He said, my sin is ever before me, Lord. And he pours his heart out in the 51st Psalm. Listen to verse number 17. He said in Psalms 51:17, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit. A broken and contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. So you start to understand that the scripture uses heart and spirit in parallel. I'm sure everybody here understands that. Nobody has to struggle to understand. When it's talking about the heart and the spirit here, it's talking about your innermost being, the very core of what you are. My, I mean, that goes deep. That goes to the unseen. You can't see this part. You can't see what this is the very core of your existence. My, and the Bible asked a question. Okay, what do you do with a wounded spirit? A wounded spirit is not something you can see. Only God knows how many people come in here tonight with a wounded spirit or a broken heart. And nobody else can tell because it doesn't show outwardly. What do you do with it? Most everybody understands that. It affects the very core of your existence. What happens when you have a wounded spirit? It affects your motivation. Amen. Why, preacher, you speak as if you've had a wounded spirit. Let me say something to you. Anybody that's ever tried to pastor a church understands a broken heart and a wounded spirit. Amen. Amen. If you've ever pastored people, you understand a broken heart and a wounded spirit. This happened, and I told somebody this, and you ever say something, preacher, and people look at you like, really? Yeah, really. You know, there is such a thing, you go home and Google it, check me out, I don't care. There is such a thing as a broken heart syndrome. Now, there's a big, long medical name for it. I'm not going to attempt that. You know, I went to Powell High School. So I'm not going to attempt that, but it's broken heart syndrome. Look it up when you get home. It's real. It's real. I've seen it. I've seen people that experienced. When my aunt passed away, my cousin Debbie, we're the same age. We grew up together. We was the two that was always getting in trouble. She knows enough on me to get me hung, and she won't open her mouth because I can fire right back at her. The church that I was helping out for so long, quite a while, is the church where my cousin goes. And I was only doing it, I didn't want to go, but I was only doing it to help her out because I love her. At her mother's funeral, I watched Debbie when she went up, she just dropped, man. I mean, just like a rock. She dropped. Of course, everybody got into panic mode. Scooped her up, run her over to the emergency room. They rushed her back into ICU and everybody's waiting. What happened to her? She didn't have any physical issues as far as we knew. And finally, when the doctor came out, he used the big word, and he said, you'll find it as broken heart syndrome. It's when the grief, help me, Lord, and the sorrow gets to the very point that it starts to affect the very core of who you are. It starts to work on who you really are inside, and you are not equipped to handle that kind of pain. You're not equipped to handle that kind of sorrow. And buddy, her body gave out and she went down. Broken heart syndrome. Now the first part of verse number 14 highlights the resilience of the physical that can sustain you. It says the spirit of a man, it's not talking about the Holy Spirit. The spirit of a man, small s, will sustain his infirmity. I'm going to use a little illustration tonight. Somebody said, I don't like illustrations. Well, put your finger in your ear and I'll be through it in just a second. I told the Lord a long time ago, I'm stupid. He didn't argue with me. And I said, if you want me to preach, I stand accountable for what I'm preaching, and I'm telling you the truth. You got to paint me a picture. I've got to see what I'm preaching, Lord. This is a two-part thing. You just said the spirit of a man will sustain his infirmity. When I played football, they called it guts or intestinal fortitude. Okay? That's what that means. When the coach would get you together and say, come on, guys, let's go. You're going to have to reach down, man. We need a gut check. Anybody have any problem understanding what that means? That's exactly what it's saying in the first part of verse 14. That shows the resilience of the spirit of man. He will sustain your infirmity. It will. Well, let me tell you how I know that. When I was going to Powell High School, I was standing there waiting for the bus. And Marshall Knight, I don't know if Marshall's still around or not. Somebody told me after school he was ordained and started preaching. But he was a good kid all through high school. He's different. He was a bookworm. You know, everybody wanted to look at his homework, sit beside Marshall if they had a test. But he was a wonderful young man, but he wore those pocket protectors. I'm not making fun of them, but you do that in high school at Powell High School, man, you're going to get hammered. And so he had that pocket protector, long pins in there, and God hears me. I'll stand accountable. And so I'm standing there waiting with the little meek Marshall. This guy comes walking down the sidewalk. Don't even break stride, man. He stops long enough to grab them pins and that pocket protector. Who's this guy think he is? I mean, he was built like a rock. He had put something on his head, and we didn't do that back then. It was an accident that turned his hair orange. And it was breaking off, man. I mean, he looked like something that came out of the wild. Wore the same clothes every day. Always had a cut off, a blue jean jacket with the sleeves cut out. And he just kept walking. I said, Marshall, buddy, you can't let him do that. You can't let him do that. He said, I can buy more pins. I said, but man, that ain't right. So I started walking behind him. Hey! Hey, buddy! Hey! And I made a bad mistake. Oh, I made a bad mistake. I had to run to catch up. He just didn't break stride. And I ran and caught up with him, and I put my hand on his shoulder, and I said, hey, dude, bam! Man alive, I've never been hit so hard in all of my life. He literally knocked me completely off of my feet. I mean, laid me out like a mattress, buddy. And, you know, you start having flashbacks of your childhood, you know, and you hear little birds, and you say, Mommy, can I ride the pony again? You think your life's going to end. I've never been hit that hard before. And when I raced up, he hadn't even broke stride. And I thought, man, who is this guy? So I started asking around. And they said, I don't mess with him. I said, well, you know, I didn't get the memo. And I said, I've never been hit that hard in my life. But I went home and I got thinking about that, man. I looked at my jaw and I looked where he'd bit one of my teeth. I don't know how it bent it out that way, but it did, and it poked a hole through my. And so I couldn't wait to get to school the next day. I couldn't wait. And I thought, man, he's going to pay for this. See, I told you I'm not right in the head. This story ends, he beat me up three times, bad. Don't I mean bad. And so I hid and I waited for him. Somebody said, won't you preach? And I'm thinking, fasten your seatbelt. So I watched him coming down the hallway at Powell High School, and then I hid in the music room, because when you come down the hallway, you had to turn down and go down a little flight of steps to go into the science wing. And I seen him coming, and I backed up. And I thought, oh boy, you're getting ready to pay. Now they'll shoot you. Now they'll just pull out a knife and they'll gut you, man. It wasn't like that when I went to school. You settled it with your fist. You didn't settle it with a gun. And I knew he was stronger than I was, and I knew he could whip me. But the spirit of a man will sustain his infirmity. You understand what I'm saying? There was something inside me that wasn't going to allow that to happen. And so when he made that turn, buddy, I came out like a wild man. I jumped up on his back and I locked him up under his chin and I took my fist like a jackhammer. Bam, 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 bam. Man, I mean, just wide open, man. I was wearing him out. So my, I wasn't living for the Lord then, so get your head up. I got right with the Lord after that. But I was wearing him out. He threw me off of him. Teachers come out of the rooms. Big thing. They separated us. And he looked at me and he said, in the smoke hole at lunch. That's where everybody fought, wasn't it, Roger? See, it's a smoke hole. And I thought, oh, gosh, here we go. So my buddies, man, oh, dude. Oh, you shouldn't have. He's going to kill you, man. I said, I don't want you to interfere. I don't want you to jump in. I don't want you to do that. But just don't let him kill me. I was being honest, man. And so, the way it was at PAL, they make a circle around you, okay? And you didn't stand there, how you doing? Have you had a good day today? No, I mean, you just went at it. I mean, you just tore into each other. And again, he knocked me down about 3 times. I was bleeding all over. I mean, he was beating the daylights out of me. And one of the times, you know, preacher, it's just the weirdest thing. I don't know if you're like this or not. My long-term memory, I can tell her stuff that happened 50 years ago. And I can't tell you what I done yesterday. Young people, just sell on. You'll get there. My long term, I can tell you. I can relive it like it just happened. But I'd have to struggle. If you said, what did you do yesterday? Let me think about it for a minute. And when he knocked me down one time, he stood over me. And he said this. He said, don't get up, man. Stay down. I'll kill you. I'm stronger than you are. Stay down. Heard my best friend say, he ain't going to stay down. If he has to, he'll lay flat on his back and spit at you. But he's not going to stay down. And I didn't. I got back up. He done exactly what he said he was going to do. He knocked me right back down. That happened again. That happened 2 times. And finally, my dad looked at me and he said, okay, you want to talk about it? No. Oh, hung on. It looks like you've been through a meat grinder, boy. You don't want to talk about it? No. I mean, he beat the daylights out of me. That's honest truth. But he came up to me in school in the hallway, and he walked up like this. He said, you want some more of me? And I said, no, man. I said, I don't want no more of you, but I'll never run from you. That's what I told him. And I said, I'll never stay down. You'll have to kill me. That's how strong that drive. The Bible said the spirit of a man will take care of his infirmity. I said, listen, you can beat me up anytime you want to, but you'll have to do it. I won't run from you, and I won't stay down. He just shook his head. He said, man, I never met nobody like you. See, what he wanted to do was break my spirit. You can't ride a horse until you break its spirit. Now you see where I'm going? You try to get on a horse unless somebody's done broke that horse. You got to break your spirit first. What he wanted to do was break my spirit. And I said, you'll have to kill me first. If I can't swing, I'll spit at you. So sophomore year, preacher, I had a 62 Volkswagen. My shop teacher came through Normandy. He was in the Normandy invasion. And Paul Kelly, he allowed me to rebuild that thing at Powell High School as a teaching tool. Dad only had to pay for the material, for the parts, and we rebuilt it right there in the shop. He's already gone on now. I seen Rodney walking down the walkway. And I noticed, I thought, man, I think he walks home every single day from school, from Powell. I pulled up. Rolled the window down. You know, you didn't have a 62 Volkswagen. You had to roll it down. You know, you couldn't push a button. He was walking. He looked at me, and I said, get in. I said, don't make me get out of this car. He smiled and got in. I said, man, I'll take you home. You walk home every day? Yeah. He was a fellow of few words. I could take you to the very place right now. You know, a lot of times you wonder why people do this, why they act this way, man, I'm telling you, it helped you to get to know them a little better. And he told me where to turn right up here. turn right here. I said, man, I know this part of town. You walk this every day from school? Yeah. Pulled up in front of his house. I've told Shannon this story so many times. And there was a school bus up on blocks with a stovepipe sticking out the top. No words was exchanged. I didn't say, man, you mean this is where you live? He said, thanks. He got out, and I said, hey, Hot Rod, I'll be here in the morning to pick you up and go to school. Okay, man. And see, what came from all of that, all the way through the rest of my time at Powell High School, we was best friends. Yeah, buddy, I'm telling you, that's something then walking down the hallway. You know what I'm saying? My main man beside me that beat me up 3 times could have killed me. But he couldn't break me. He couldn't break me. He's always been able to break everything that he wanted to break. He couldn't break my, he couldn't do it. He tried. So he became my best friend. I'd walk down the hallway and look at some of them seniors. Yeah. Make sure Rodney's behind me. And I'm sure he's back there going, leave him alone. Toughest man that I've ever seen in my life. You know what he did when we graduated preacher? He joined the Marine Corps. Yeah. I never got to see him after he came through Paris Island, but I thought to myself, oh my goodness. Somebody as tough and strong as that, his hands were so calloused, that they told me, and I believe it, that he could grab a bee's nest and just, he had that much anger in him and just hold it, walk around with it, man. And they couldn't even sting through them calluses and just squeeze it and throw it down. You want to fight somebody like that? If you do, you're stupid as I was. I didn't want to fight him. Tried to run from him, but I wouldn't run from him, and I wouldn't stay down. That's the first part of this verse. Look at it again. Look at it. The spirit of a man will sustain his infirmity. You see that? But then there's a change. The second part turns inward, not outward. It turns inward. But a wounded spirit, who can bear? Who can bear a wound? Then it becomes emotional and spiritual. It's no longer physical. It turns inside. It affects the very core of what you are and who you are. And it's a kind of sorrow and pain that you just cannot bear up under. You cannot do it. When your spirit has become wounded, you can't treat it at home. With Shannon's sickness, we have to be very careful. She gets dehydrated all the time. We have to watch it. She'll feel herself getting dehydrated. She'll start drinking Pedialyte. She'll drink anything that's got electrolytes in it. And then we start to realize, no, it's to the point we can't treat this at home. Can't do it. We go to the ER. They know us on a first name basis, I believe. And they hook her up to IVs. If you have a wounded spirit, somebody gives you a black eye, you can handle that. No big deal. It'll heal. Yeah. Most of the Lord gave you enough intestinal fortitude. It's a fancy word for guts, man. To bear up under it and you can handle it. But when that becomes emotional and spiritual and it turns inward, it will destroy you if you don't do something with it. It will affect every part of your being. My. Papaw raised beagles. Somebody said, oh, here he goes with another one. Well, call a timeout and go get a drink of water. I've got to preach the way the Lord gave me this message. He raised beagles, man, and I loved it as a kid. I wouldn't give you, you could not buy my childhood. Oh, man, I had the best childhood. I thank the Lord for it all the time. And I was around Papaw a lot, and I watched him raise those beagles. He was good, man. He was good at it. He was good at what he done. But what was so funny, a couple of times a year, they'd have a beagle meet up there in Sevier County, and all these old men that raised beagles, they would all go to this big open lot, and they'd back their pickup trucks in, and they'd have their dog boxes back there and their beagles, and every one of them would lie like a dog. And they would sell and trade and buy each other's beagles. And I caught Papaw in there one day with a beagle that I knew wasn't worth shooting. And Papo had that beagle down, and he had a brush, and he was it was a little female, and he was scrubbing her ears. He wasn't hurting her, he was just scrubbing her ears. And I said, what are you doing? He said, she's going to the dog meet this weekend. And I said, what are you doing to her ears? He said, boy, she's going to look like a beagle that'll get in them thickets and run them rabbits out. That's what them briars will do to their ears if they're a good hunter. I said, Papo, she's not a good hunter. He said, they won't know that. But they all done the same thing. And I loved going down there with them. Man, they back up and have their dog boxes and lie like a dog. Now, Paul, I said, now right there's a good beagle. Now, and if I heard Papo do the same thing. Look, this little lemon-spotted female over here. Look at her ears.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, that's a thicket dog, boy. She'll get in there and bring them out. And I think, Papo, you're lying. That dog ain't worth shooting. You scrubbed her ears down like that. But he always had this beagle named Jack that he never hunted, never tried to train. It was with him everywhere he went. And one day, I remember like it was yesterday, I said, Papa, did you just retire Jack because he was such a champion beagle dog or a rabbit dog? And he said, no. He said, Jack's never run a rabbit in his life. And I said, so what's the deal with him? I mean, why do you keep him around? He said, my brother brought Jack to me a long time ago. And he's such a bunch of boys had been mean to him when he was a puppy. They had abused him. They beat him with sticks. My brother rescued him, brought him to me as if I could do anything with him. I mean, he's still with me. Still with me? Some of you not sure? Okay, about four people still with me, so I'll keep going. He said, I tried my best to work with Jack. But said, and if you want to go home, you go home and you have yourself a time Googling what I'm getting ready to tell you. He said, but Jack had his spirit broken when he's just a pup. He'll never be worth anything to hunt. He'll never chase a rabbit. He barely will eat. Hardly ever seen that dog eat. He said his spirit was broken. Yeah. And said, after their spirit's been broken, son, there's nothing you can do for them. And I said, well, why don't you dump Jack off on one of them guys down there that you meet with? And he said, oh, are you kidding me? He said, Lord, ain't enough money in this world to buy old Jack. Hold on. And we understand each other. Yeah. Isn't that something? You mean you can break an animal's will? You better know you can. You mean to stand up there and tell me that you can break an animal's spirit? Google it. You most definitely can break an animal's spirit. I Googled. Why do we have to Google everything, man? Did you look that up on Google? Can you imagine me telling Papo, Papo, you don't know how that goes back on that tractor? Google it. Do what? But that's what we do, isn't it? I Googled wounded spirit. That's what I Googled. It said basically the same thing as having a broken heart. And this is what you're going to question AI and Google? Surely you're not. You may question the Bible, but you're not going to question AI and Google, are you? Here's what it said. A state of profound despair, where a person's innermost core is shattered, causing intense emotional pain and sorrow. Wow. You ever had your heart broke? Now look, I'm not talking about penny ante stuff. Nothing against these young people. I love them. But puppy love is not having your heart broke. I understand. I was deeply in love. Sorry, Mom. With Robin Vinegar in the third grade. Little red-headed girl sat in front of me and, man, just took my heart away. Found out she went for older men. Her boyfriend was a fourth grader. He beat me up. Spent my life getting beat up, man. But I was smitten with her, man. Smitten. And I'd send her little notes. I done it all the time. I like you. Do you like me. I make it as easy as I could. I put two boxes there. Yes. No. Simple. And I'd pass it up to her. You know, and they'd think, oh, dude, man, she ain't gonna have nothing to do with you. Just give her the note. And she'd get it, and I could say, oh, she's looking at it. She's reading it. Oh, my gosh. And then in the class, she'd just walk by and drop it down on my desk. She wouldn't mark nothing, man. Just left me hanging. She wouldn't mark anything. Till finally the day came where she put it down on my desk, and she had tripled marked it, no. Yeah. Well, that hurt. And I felt like I had a broken heart, but I got over it. I'm talking about something. I'm talking about a hurt and a pain that goes far deeper than that. The kind of wounded spirit, the kind of broken heart that you don't even have the strength to go on. You don't even want to get out of bed the next day. I've witnessed that. I've witnessed it. I've experienced it. And I've witnessed it at funerals, funeral homes, at the graveyard. I've seen people with wounded spirits. I mean, so wounded that they could barely walk, could barely get out of the car and get to the gravesite. One that will always stick out. Out of all the few, one that will always stick out. And I could call her name right now, first and last. 4-year-old little girl, beautiful, oh, gorgeous little girl, was in the care of her grandmother. And it was just one of those freak accidents. Her grandmother was not at fault. She didn't do anything wrong. She loved that little old girl. But she fell. She had an aneurysm, and she died. And at that funeral, you wanna see what a wounded spirit looks like? It's something that goes deep, deep down. It's something that affects your innermost core of what you are. And that grandma, you could hear her screaming and crying for blocks, mourning over that baby. I'm telling you, it crushed my heart, mourning over that child. That's you want to know what a wounded spirit is? Talk to the parents of those two kids that was killed in Minnesota. Talk to them. You'll find out what a broken heart and a wounded spirit, what it really is. And then the Bible said, who can bear it? Who can bear that? That's what the question. A wounded spirit. Who can bear that? Who can stay up under that? That kind of grief, it turns inward. I Googled that. And this psychologist, okay, gave 13 steps on how to deal with a broken heart and a wounded spirit. God, you kidding me? I thought, lady, you're so out of your element. You have no idea what you're even talking about. They may be able to help you. They may be able to patch it up, get you in a support group. And maybe help you a little bit, but that kind of hurt you can't fix on your own. You have to go to the doctor. Amen. What do you mean, preacher? The kind of hurt you deal with that goes that deep, that wounds your spirit, and it hurts inside, it's invisible. It's invisible, but it's real. You have to go to him who is invisible. The Bible said God is a spirit. Amen. Yeah. And those that worship him worship more. If anybody knows how to deal with an invisible hurt, it's the invisible one. Yeah. Yeah. Moses endured, the Bible said in Hebrews 11, as seeing him who is invisible. Amen. That's the only one that can fix it. That's the only one that can heal it, is he who is invisible. He's the only one that can fix a broken heart, that can fix a wounded spirit. You're wasting your time trying anything else. They may put a Band-Aid on it. You may have felt, but if you've ever truly had a wounded spirit, wounded, there's only one that can fix it. Only one. Only one. Calvary displays his broken. How can you fix a broken heart if you've never had one? How can you counsel somebody with a broken heart or a wounded spirit if you've never had one? All you can do is point them to one that did. That's all you can do. Calvary displays a broken heart. He endured the physical suffering on the cross. That shows his resilience. The first part of verse 14. He did not fall beneath the load. Now, I know you see all this stuff, all this Catholic doctrine about the four stages where Jesus fell under the weight of the cross. No, he didn't. I said, no, he didn't. But they asked Simon to carry the cross. It did not say he fell underneath the load. Search it in your King James Bible. You'll not find where he fell. No, 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 no. That shows the resilience. He came here as a man. And it shows the resilience of a man. His spirit bore that infirmity. Amen. They took it off his back and gave it to Simon because they wanted to speed it up, man. They had things going on back at the house and in Jerusalem. He didn't fall beneath the load. No. And when he finally did fall, he got right back up. You didn't get it, did you? Yeah. Amen, preacher. Yeah. Calvary shows the resilience, the first part. But it don't stop there. It's not where it stops. It goes farther. When he was on the cross, God the Father allowed Satan to bruise him. He allowed it. He allowed Satan to bust open his flesh, to beat him with a cat of nine tails, to beat him to where the Bible said he was marred more than any man. His visions were so marred, you wouldn't even recognize him as being human. The Lord allowed Satan to do that. You know what the Lord said in Isaiah chapter 50 and verse 8? This is not verbatim, but this is what it says. He said, who is it that will contend with me? Let him draw near. Yeah. See, my Savior is not a little tiptoe to the tulips, Tiny Tim, spreading flower leaves around. No, no, no. He came here as a man for men. He's a man's man, is what I'm saying. He took everything Satan had to throw at him physically and then said, you think I'm going to stay down? Don't you know the devil is saying, stay down, stay down. He said, who is it that will contend with me? He said that as a man. He said that as a spirit-filled man. Let him draw nigh. Hey, that's my Savior. You want part of me? You got to go through him. He's a man's man. But then it changes to grief. When he's on the cross, Psalms 22, 14 says that his heart was poured out like wax. And it talks about, here it comes now, here comes the second part. Here comes the wounding of the spirit and the breaking of the heart. The second part, it said that the bulls of Bashan was released. The devil will attack you emotionally and spiritually when you're at your weakest. When he's already got you weakened, then he'll come after you emotionally and spiritually. Yeah. And if you let him, he will break your spirit. Oh, yeah. Absolutely. And so he comes after the Lord's Christ. The bulls of Bashan, if you want to run the references on that, it's demons. The Lord said that the dogs gaped upon me with their teeth as a ravening lion. He's been attacked with everything hell has to offer. I'm telling you, his soul was made an offering for sin. The travail, the physical travail, that's one thing. But the emotional and the spiritual travail of being attacked by demons when you're bleeding to death. That's something. Yeah. That's why when the Bible said, who can bear it, you can't bear it. You put a Band-Aid on it, but it's not going to go away. No, when it gets that, no, when it's to the point to where your spirit has been wounded, you can't treat that at home. You got to get to the doctor. And the only one that can treat it is the invisible one. The only one that understands it is one that's been bruised, one that's been beaten, the one that's been attacked. And then that's why he says in Matthew 11:28, come unto me, all you that labor. That's physical. You ever needed to get a good night's sleep? Work so hard, so long, you wore out, you can't sleep. I challenge you to do something. Lord, I got to make a living. Lord, I got to get up at 5 in the morning. Lord, will you give me a good night's sleep? Would you just let me rest? Would you let my body rest? I can't tell you how many times through years I've prayed that, because I don't sleep at night now unless I pray.
He said, come unto me, all you that labor. That's physical. And then he said, heavy laden. That deals with the innermost part of you, being heavy laden. You know what he said? He said, I'll give you rest. Yeah. All you that labor and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. I'm closing with this right here. Closing with this. It was David that wrote Psalms 51 that I read, 34 that I read. When you get to Psalm 61, David was a warrior, man. I mean, you whack him, knock him off his feet with a sword, he's going to get back up. Mm-hmm. Because the spirit of a man will take care of his infirmity. But David's dealing with something that he's never had to deal with before. Never had to deal with it. His own son Absalom come into Jerusalem to fight against his own father, to take the kingdom away from his own father. David refused to fight Absalom. Are you kidding me? It's like me walking up to my dad and say, hey, Dad, bring it on. I know I'm fat and ugly, but I ain't stupid. Basically, that's what Absalom done. He came in to disgrace his own father. What did David do? He left Jerusalem weeping. Weeping, and he said, when you find him, do the young man no harm. And when word came to David that Absalom was dead, it affected that deep, deep core in David. And David cried out in Psalm 61:1. He said, when my heart is overwhelmed, you know what that word means? It pictures a ship on the sea, and the waves are getting higher and higher and higher till it swamps the deck, and the boat's about to go under. David said, when my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I am. Lead me to the rock that is higher. The Lord sent this message for a reason. You got a physical element? I think most of us in here do, of some sort. Well, the spirit of man will take care of his infirmity. But if you got a broken heart, and I don't mean baby stuff. Somebody said something to you at the church. They broke my heart. Oh, man. Take a half of baby aspirin and get over it. I'm talking about serious stuff here. I'm talking about a genuine broken heart or a wounded spirit. Let me help you out tonight. I can't fix it. I can't. But I can from experience point you to one that can. Yeah. Yeah, he can fix it. Well, if I come up there, what do I have to say? Nothing. Nothing. You don't have to open your mouth. You bring him that broken heart or that wounded spirit tonight, and the Holy Spirit of God, Romans 8:26, will start making intercessions for you to the throne room with words that can't even be uttered with your mouth. He knows exactly. Hey, he knows exactly what a broken heart looks like. You bring it to him, he knows exactly what it looks like and what to do with it. Yeah. It's a pain that's invisible. You say, well, I think, preacher, maybe one time back, maybe 10 years ago, I had a broken heart. No. No, if you have to think about it, you've never had one. I think I know what it is to have a wounded spirit. Well, you don't. You don't. If you have to think about it, you don't. But if you looked at me tonight and say, preacher, I know exactly what a wounded spirit is. It's hard to bear up under. Who can bear it? The Bible said, who can bear it? You can't bear it alone. You can't. Nobody in here can see it. You clean up pretty good, like the rest of us. But there's somebody sitting here tonight. I don't ever say this. Mom, how much have I labored over this? How much have I labored over this? How many mornings have you got up and I never even went to bed and they're on my face before God? His word will not return unto him void, but it will prosper the thing whereto he sent it. Amen. There's somebody here tonight. I'm not trying to trap anybody. I'm trying to help you. But there's somebody here tonight that has a broken heart. You can't fix it on your own. That has a wounded spirit. You're going to lose all your motivation just to get up the next day. You need to bring it to the fixer of broken things. You need to bring it to him tonight. My Father,
I thank you, Lord. The devil fought it. I knew he would. He don't want to see people get help. He don't want that. He don't want to see people get victory over a broken heart or a wounded spirit. He'll fight that. But Lord, I know that you sent this message. I know that. I know without a shadow. I know it as much as I'm saved tonight that you laid this burden upon my heart. There's somebody here. There's somebody tonight that walked in here. Can't see it. It's invisible. I'm sure more than one that's dealing, trying their best to deal with a broken heart or a wounded spirit. Who can bear it? They can't bear it. I pray, Lord, tonight, I pray that they'll bring it to this altar and they'll give it to you and be able to walk out of here not bowed over. I ask you to do it. If you don't do it tonight, you will take this message and use it somewhere because it won't return void. That's your promise to the messenger. Your word will not return void. I ask you to do it in Jesus' name. I ask Sister Angie, she's going to be playing. I want you to take your church hymnal. Stand up and turn to page number 373. And I want you to listen to the words that you're about to sing. Pass me not, O gentle Savior.